Everyone, welcome to Cosmos with Cosmos. We're back for the new year. I'm Liz.
I'm Mike.
I'm Brandon.
I had the shenanigans with these two. We got a high in the sky for January 2024.
The future.
Well, when this actually goes on like the podcast platforms, it will be January 2024. So,
oh my God. So we actually need to change the title in the notes.
On Christmas Eve, but, or Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, I don't even know, time and space just all blend together, but our sun has completed a full orbit, our Earth has completed a full orbit around the sun. I haven't had any alcohol yet either.
Well, that's why it's not functioning.
All right, let me get my, head in the game here.
Maybe that'll,
That'll help. which Mike and I were discussing last night. Was it as we were going to bed? I thought about it when I was going to the bathroom or something. That, you know, there is no starting position.
Oh, like, we had a whole conversation on the couch.
Oh, it was on the couch? Okay, yeah, I came back from the bathroom and that's when I thought about it. But that, like, the New Year's arbitrary because there's no starting position for the Earth. We don't know its starting orbital position, so...
Well, isn't there, like, okay, so it's the point where Earth is exactly where it was from the sun, but that isn't that technically not 365.25 days? Isn't it like a little difference as well?
Yeah, because we always have to add in, we have to add in a leap year, and then we have to add in all this stuff to make our calendars work.
So it's not quite the same point, but, you know, it's close.
Well, look, I mean, if you want to be completely honest and really get into the weeds.
Ooh. Yeah, let's do it.
Universe has been expanding for, you know.
Oh, see, you go beyond our solar system. You take it into the whole universe, our position in the universe.
Into account here. At no point is the Earth in the same spot. It's
going around the sun, so that's what counts as the year.
Boo. Mike's not being romantic about New Year's.
Well, but the question became, so what, I mean, what's special about January 1st as opposed to, you know, May 13th? You know what
Well,
I mean?
May 13th is special because that's Katie's birthday.
Well, I know. I know about that one. That people in their room would know. But I mean, it's so arbitrary.
Yeah.
It's an arbitrary thing.
But we need a starting point so we can start counting.
It's not even like when the sun is in, like, you know, the first point of Aries or whatever those things are. So it's not even like when we start a season, you know. No. It's just so arbitrary.
Speaking of needing some drinks to get through this, Brandon, what are you drinking?
I am drinking the X37B, which we'll talk about later in the episode. And it is Moon Mist Oolong with bourbon.
Moon Mist Oolong.
Yeah.
That sounds nice.
Sure. Although there's caffeine in it, so we're going to see how I do tonight.
You hop up all night.
So I don't like staying up to midnight. That's late, but I guess I will now.
So old. We're so old. Anyway, what you got?
I got what I'm calling the resonance. Because all the flavors are in perfect resonance with each other. And it has Bailey's Irish Cream, chocolate vodka, caramel vodka. Cheers.
Ooh, wow. That sounds great on an empty stomach.
One could say
I'm going to be fucked before this is all over with.
One could say the resonance is futile.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, now, I'm drinking a cold, dark winter's night. And which is just my favorite beer ever from the Monkless Brewery here in Bend, Oregon. And it's called a Poor Poor Bitter Me. I don't know. It's really good.
So the last few episodes, Liz has kept her name a secret, the drink. I guess that's just her thing now. She doesn't put the name in the notes.
Oh, I just forgot. I came up with it and then forgot to put it in the notes. I was like, I'll just say
it's a thing now.
It's a thing. All right. Anyway,
it's like the shot where we don't know anybody's topics.
Oh, those are fun.
That's fun though. If hey, if you want more shots, episodes, our little shot-size bits of astronomy, then you can check those out on YouTube. And you can follow us on all the things at Drinking Cosmos on Twitter and Cosmos with Cosmos everywhere else and where you get your podcast if you like our shenanigans and dad jokes.
That was a professional segue. Well
done.
Thank
you. And if you want more cool shit to check out, then find Wild Ixia, Wild IXIA on Etsy and her phenomenal artwork. And then the MrProctorShow.com, Ron Proctor, our good buddy, makes cigar box guitars, which we actually went to a store and we saw a bunch of cigar boxes and we thought of him. And then, of course, our buddy Jack in the Rolling Bluffs area of Iowa. Check out RollingBluffsPlanetarium.com if you're in Council Bluffs area of Iowa. If you're in that area of Iowa.
If you're in Iowa. If you're just in Iowa,
just go to Jack's Planetarium. I don't know how big is Iowa as a state?
Well, I mean, the population has swollen to 25 like trillion people.
90% because corn
of, they're
going to
do that voting thing in a couple weeks. The Iowa... It's not a primary. What's the other
caucus?
One? Caucuses.
I got you.
Yes.
Oh, it also means tomorrow is when I can officially start watching The West Wing again. Every 4 years, it's West Wing.
Oh, that would be a good rewatch, if only. If only. Anyway, we have some rules or a little drinking game as you watch. If you hear any dogs barking, take a drink. One of our dogs, Jack, is currently whining right now. He's blocked behind a gate and can't get in here. And if we make any Star Wars or Lord of the Ring references, also,
take a drink. He's behind the gate, but he can see the doors open.
Yeah, so he wants to get in here. So pain. He's like, no.
Yeah, we put in a gate because Poe came and visited.
We had a little cat visitor. My sister's cat, Potato, came and stayed with us. Anyway, let's get high in
let's
the sky.
Now
what we've been doing for High in the Sky, instead of just like being like, here's every constellation that's up because... You know, all the constellations are up a long time throughout the year. We're highlighting a constellation, and I thought that January was the perfect time to highlight one of the most famous constellations, one of the brightest constellations, easy to distinguish and find in the night sky, and that is the one, the only Orion the Hunter. Yeah. Orion, noticeable by and famous for his belt of stars, the three stars that are in a line, and you can make him out. It's a very large constellation that'll be rising in the east and getting higher in the sky. The deeper into winter we get, earlier and earlier it'll be higher in the sky. Whatever. And it's marked by kind of two bright stars as its shoulders, three stars as its belt below those, and another two bright, fairly bright stars as it's his legs, his knees, the bottom of his skirt, however you want to envision him, I suppose. And there are some other less bright stars that apparently make out like a shield or a bow, depending on your interpretation of what you're envisioning up there. And the best visibility for Orion is January through April. That's when he's up high enough in the sky above the horizon early in the evening. You don't necessarily have to stay up until 3 in the morning to see him, that sort of thing. That belt of stars, those three stars, are named Mintaka, Alnilam, and Alnitak. And you'll notice a thing with star names. When we're talking about star names, that a lot of them are actually Arabic. And it was basically people in the Middle East that were mapping out all the stars and giving them these names, and we've kept those to this day. So a lot of them have an Arabic sound because they're Arabic. Which is pretty cool. And Orion can actually help you find another bright star. In fact, the brightest star in the nighttime sky, Sirius, which is the nose of the big dog Canis Major. So when you find the three stars in Orion's belt, they will point west to Sirius.
East?
Yeah,
if you're facing south, Orion...
Yeah, okay, they point east. I I envisioned it wrong in my head. But okay, so if you go east, then the bell actually points to the bright star of Aldebaran.
Or west Aldebaran. You go east to
Oh god damn it, I can't. All right.
You had it though.
I had it. Okay. Points west to Aldebaran, the orange bright star, the eye of the bull, Taurus the bull, and then east to Sirius, the nose of Canis Major, the big dog.
Exactly.
Ah, jeez, we got
there. It's jumping around.
We got there. All right, one of the brightest stars in Orion is the famous star Betelgeuse.
Betelgeuse.
How different pronunciations. It's the armpit of Orion, or his right shoulder.
How do you say it, Mike?
I say Betelgeuse.
Oh, you say Betelgeuse? Okay.
I do like the movie. So,
Betelgeuse?
Yeah.
I was going Betelgeuse.
But I think either way is actually correct now. Because
if they've accepted our pronunciation of Betelgeuse, yeah. Basically. This star is 548 light years away. And it's a red supergiant, which means it's gonna go big booms.
Big bada boom.
Big bada booms. In fact, it could have already big bada boomed, and we just haven't seen it yet.
I hope
so. Most likely not, but and we could see it supernova in our lifetime. Maybe. It's possible. It's highly unlikely, but there is a sliver of a chance that we could.
So you're saying there's a chance?
There's a chance.
The chance increases every day.
Uh-huh.
That's true.
Uh-huh. A fun fact about Betelgeuse is that it formed 50 million years after the dinosaurs went extinct.
So 15 million years ago?
10.
15 million years ago. 10 to 15 million years ago. I never thought about that.
No, I just like how that's phrased. Not, it's just 10 million years old. No, it was formed after the dinosaurs went extinct.
After the dinosaurs. And yeah, and these big stars, it's a massive star. So these big, massive stars, they burn through their fuel a lot faster than our sun, where our sun can live for, you know, its lifespan is going to be about, halfway through its lifespan.
Yeah, it's about 9, 10 billion years
old. Whereas these larger stars, they last much shorter periods of time because they're burning, like an SUV goes through gas much faster than a Honda.
Superstars.
This is a superstar. Hopefully she doesn't explode, though. Although, that'd make for some headlines.
That'd be wild.
Just Taylor Swift just explodes.
Spontaneous
combustion. All right, so another bright star in Orion is Rigel.
There would be a national day of mourning if that happened.
Oh my goodness. It'd be like Kennedy.
It could be a global day of mourning. I don't know her reach, her influence. How's T-Swift doing in Italy there, Federico? Answer us that.
Oh, she's huge everywhere, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right, anyway,
All right, Rigel, the lower right of Orion, is lower left. It's a blue supergiant, so it's also a boomer. It's going to go a big boom. It's 863 light years away.
I really want to call these stars that go supernova boomers now.
Boomers now?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we can. We can do what we want.
They're all boomers.
These are now boomers. And fun fact about Rigel, it's 2 million years younger than Betelgeuse.
Oh, okay.
Which is nice. In fact, Betelgeuse being red supergiant, that means it's already gone through enough fuel that it's starting to expand out, and outer layers have cooled, turning red. But it's kind of in it's entering its death throe phase that we see. Whereas Rigel hasn't hit that yet, but Rigel will turn into a red supergiant.
Another one of my favorite astronomy phrases that everyone will say when talking about stars, for example, is going to be the death throes. It's always going to be in there.
Always death throes. I know, it's so fun. And another star in Orion that I thought was fun to highlight is Bellatrix.
Oh.
And if you may notice that Sirius and Bellatrix, if they sound familiar if they sound familiar, yeah, there's a Harry Potter connection, because a lot of the characters in Harry Potter were named after stars or constellations in the sky, like Draco. Draco the Dragon constellation, which is in the north. And Bellatrix is a B-type blue giant, but it's thought to be too small to go a big boom. So it's,
oh,
not,
so it's like a millennial.
It's like a maybe it's Gen X. Maybe it could be Gen X. and it's in Orion's left shoulder. It's only 40 million years younger than the dinosaur extinction.
All right, so it 20 million years ago?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, all right.
I don't know.
All my times now will be decided by how long we were after dinosaur extinction.
That's how we should do it.
That's how
we should do it.
63.1618 million years after the dinosaur extinction.
Like, okay.
We can do all times in dinosaur units.
Dinosaur units. I like that, dinosaur units. Now, there is some deep space stuff located in Orion, of course, that you need a telescope or binoculars to check out. In fact, one of those which you can use binoculars to see is right behind us, right here, if you're watching us on YouTube. But behind us, we do have a triptych of the Orion Nebula. This is a very famous nebula. It's located within the Sword of Orion, which are these three stars that are line up underneath the belt of Orion.
It's definitely a sword.
It's a sword. You can also call it Orion's baby maker because it's a stellar nursery. It's where stars are being born. It's the seeds of stars swimming around there in space.
Orion's sperm.
Sperm.
That's exactly what it is. Little propellants that look like sperm.
Uh-huh,
yeah.
Uh-huh. It's 412 parsecs away from us. And a parsec is
3.26 light years.
Oh, I was
now laid end to end. How many skittles is that?
It's a lot.
42 parsec units.
The trapezium, which is located, it's like it looks like a trapezoid of stars, basically. The trapezium, it's in the center of this nebula with many newborn stars there, and you can actually see it with your naked eye, and it looks like a star. Of course, you need dark skies to see it, but it will just look like a star, but it's bright enough to apparently see with your naked eye.
How did we come up with the term naked eye?
Huh.
Without aid?
Well, wouldn't it be unaided eye?
That doesn't sound as fun, though.
Naked eye.
Put some clothes on your eye.
So what did they say before glasses were invented?
Everything looks blurry.
Why is it all blurry? Anyway, I'm sorry. That just popped into my head. Orion Nebula.
Hi, Jack.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Jack. You're working this New Year's Eve. Ooh, in charge of balloon drop and confetti cannons. All right, pre-shift nap. Enjoy your nap, Jack. And Happy New Year.
Get a nap, Jack, and don't you come back.
That's fun. You know, one day we'll get involved with our small town and participate in it.
We did yesterday. We saw the local band play.
We did, but that's not like a participation.
And I even talked to the bassist.
You did, because he came over and he was like, "Hey, buddy." He was like, "Oh, hey."
He's my only friend in Oak Ridge.
And you can't remember his name.
And I don't. No, I'm not gonna keep it that way.
It's Dave. His contact is on our fridge. Anyway, like all these constellations, they're constellations.
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 Yeah.
Like all these constellations, there are stories behind them for the most part, at least in the Northern Hemisphere. I don't know if in the Southern Hemisphere there's a story about telescopium, but probably not. And with all of them, there are many different stories because many different cultures throughout the world have pictured these stars as, you know, what applies to their lives and their what is relevant to them. So going to the ancient Near East first with Orion, and it is referenced in Babylonian star catalogs as Sipa Zi-An-Na, the heavenly shepherd.
Cool.
Which is fun. In Egypt, it's seen as the god Sa. It rose before Sirius, and Sirius rising is the basis for the Egyptian calendar.
Flooding of the Nile.
And so it's closely linked with the goddess that symbolizes or personifies Sirius, which is the goddess Sopdet.
Wait, who?
Sopdet.
Okay.
Sopdet.
There we go.
And that's, it's one of the gods that the dead pharaoh will take in the afterlife, apparently. The Bible talks about it, the good old Bible. And in the Bible, Kesli, foot, or etymologically Kislev, which equals the ninth month of the Hebrew calendar.
Now, I have a question.
Yes.
Does Kesli mean foot or fool?
Fool. I read that wrong. fool. It means fool. Okay, so fool.
You have your naked eyes.
I have my naked eyes. So, fool.
Why is it all blurry?
I could zoom in here, I guess, on my thing. I mean, eventually I will need glasses because my dad had to get reading glasses, like, I think in his 50s. So, eventually, reading glasses are my future because I take after my dad physically.
I love that little tangent.
In the Middle East, it's called Al-Jabbar, meaning the giant. In China, it's
the
one of...
The entire Middle East. Not all just of the one East. Place.
All of it.
Meanwhile, you got the Bible saying, hey, it's the fool. But the entire Middle East, which the Bible in the Middle East,
what?
It's the giant.
Maybe it's the fool giant.
From non-Christians, then.
Or the giant fool.
What would it be in Harry Potter, since you brought up Harry Potter? It'd be a troll. Maybe a troll. Wouldn't it be a troll?
Well, I don't know. It's fighting the bull.
Like the
giant
bull. So
it could be Harry Potter himself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a Gryffindor, at the very least.
Where's Katie when you need her?
I know. She's driving home because she picked up Poe from us. In China, it's one of 28 lunar mansions, which is called Shen for the three stars in the belt.
I think it's great how, like, in all of these, there are basically there's some sort of human, you know, or
except for China, it's a mansion.
We're gonna put the moon in it, and the moon doesn't go in it, but we're gonna put the moon in it. This is where the moon lives. It's one of its mansions. It's got 28 of them.
China has a wild interpretation of the
kingdoms,
sky.
The mansions, their prisons up there.
I mean, it's really like it's pretty creative. Going out to down south, but to New Zealand, we're just gonna weege in a little New Zealand here.
Nice.
In Maori tradition, the star Rigel, which is known as Puanga or Puaka, is closely connected with the celebration of Matariki. And the rising of Matariki, which is the Pleiades, which is the little cluster of stars in Taurus, the bull that looks like a mini dipper. The rising of Matariki and Rigel before sunrise in midwinter marks the start of the Maori year.
Hey. All right.
So it symbolizes the new year for the Maori.
All right. So midwinter for us. It'd be midsummer for...
It'd be midsummer.
Anyway, it's the start of the new year for them.
Well, start of the new year for everyone, but it's summertime for them right now. And then, of course, classically, Greek mythology, Orion is known as the hunter, There's a lot of different Greek stories, actually, for Orion. One of them is that Hera sent the scorpion to fight him, and he was fought Scorpius, and he was stung by Scorpius. And he was fought because Orion got all braggy and was like, I can kill any animal. I'm the best hunter there is. I don't know why he's Southern.
He's a hunter. It makes sense.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hunters.
And so Hera was like, all right, let's see how you do with this fucking scorpion. And then he beat the scorpion, but he was stung.
Oh, yeah.
And then Ophiuchus, who's known as the serpent bearer, revived him and actually stands between Scorpius and Orion in the night sky. And Ophiuchus is the unofficial 13th zodiac constellation because his foot is actually on the ecliptic and the sun passes through Ophiuchus technically. So
another reason why astrology is bunk. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
They can't even get constellations.
By the way, the medical symbol with the snake around around, that is for Ophiuchus. Mm-hmm. He was the healer. I forget his name. His original name. It was like, it started with an
Benjamin.
A. Buttons. It started with an A, but anyway. So that is actually Alan, a symbol from Adam. Ophiuchus, the serpent bearer. All right, moving on. So we got Orion. hanging out there. And of course, Orion's going to be very bright. There's other bright constellations and stars around Orion. The winter night sky for us here in the northern hemisphere is probably the best night sky, the brightest night sky, from a, especially from a city location. You can see more things with light pollution than I would say at other times in the year. So check it out. Use a star map on your phone to see what's up there, to see what you're looking at.
Yeah, and visit your local planetarium.
Exactly. Always visit your local planetarium.
Yeah, here in the winter months, we're looking out of the galaxy.
Mm-hmm. So it's darker. You don't have, so that means it's the worst time to actually look at, do Milky Way observation if you're in a dark area, but the best time to see these bright constellations.
But if you want to be up at 2 o'clock in the, well, 4 o'clock in the morning, then you can see the Milky Way.
Mm-hmm. If you're in a dark area.
Where's the center of the Milky Way?
But there's more things than just constellations out there. More stars. There's something a little closer to home, and that's some planets.
Planetes.
Merc. Good old Mercs. And Venus. Mercury. And Venus.
No, I think we're just Joopy Joops.
I will do what I want.
I don't think Mercs lands.
Mercs?
No, Merc doesn't land.
I don't think it lands.
Why not? He's Herms. In Greeks, he's Hermes. Hermes and Mercury. So Mercury and Venus, they are going to be in the early morning in the east, low on the horizon. Mars is gone. It's lost in the glare of the sun now.
We need to send people to find it.
No, it's still there. It's fine. It's just okay. We can't see it. The sun's blocking its view. I don't know why I wrote this question in the notes. What would an Earth transit from Mars look like? I don't know why I put that there. I don't know what I was...
You mean a transit of the sun? Well, it would look the same as, say, like Venus transiting the sun for us. A little black dot going across the sun.
That's nice.
Okay.
And now I have the police in my head. There's a little black dot on the sun today.
But who is still reigning supreme and taking center stage in the January night sky? Jupy Joops. Good old Joops. Bright all night long. You can see it. Saturn's also going to be up. It sets a little bit earlier than Joops. So you got 3 to 4 hours of observing time for Saturn. But Joops will reign supreme.
Nice.
Some events that will be happening in January in the sky. We have the Quadrantids meteor shower. That's a hard one to say. Quadrantids. There's up to 40 per hour between January 4th. I don't know why.
No, it's 1/3, 1/4.
Yeah.
It's 1/3 to 1/4.
No, it's supposed to be January 3rd to 4th. That's when it peaks. I don't know why I did that.
Because with Google Docs, if you do 1/3, it assumes.
I've never seen it do that before.
Yeah, because when I write up my drink recipes for our like visits, like Christmas, Thanksgiving, it does that for me automatically, which is great.
I don't think it did that initially for me. But anyway, January 3rd?
It did. You just didn't pay attention to it.
I guess not. I did start these like 3 weeks ago. So January 3rd and 4th are when it peaks. And it's dust from an extinct comet. I don't know what comet, but from an extinct comet. So the comet, I'm assuming it fell into the sun.
It just used up all its kind of debris, and now it's
it just evaporated out.
Yeah.
So that's cool. On the 11th,
which is actually kind of, I mean, crazy to think about, where
we're seeing dust from a comet that
where
no longer
you do
exists.
Have this thing that's going around. Mm-hmm. All right, let's assume all the volatiles have been evaporated off, and it's now an extinct comet. So it's now just a piece of rock going around. We know that it creates this meteor shower every single year, but we obviously can't find it.
You know? Yeah, we can't. That's kind of cool.
That's, yeah.
Assuming that it did not run into the sun.
Yes.
Which is an entire possibility.
Yeah, but I wasn't finding, or I didn't find any information on the comet itself. So, or I didn't
well, it's extinct,
take the time
yeah,
to.
We have to send people to go find it.
How many dinosaur units did it go extinct? Like the dinosaurs.
There's probably a way to figure that out.
I'm sure there is. But on January 11th, there's a new moon.
New moon.
So that's your best time for sky observing because you won't have the moon brightening things up.
Goddamn moon.
And then on January 12th, Mercury.
Thank you.
Since we can't do Mark anymore, will be at its greatest elongation.
You can do it. It just doesn't land.
Mercs. I like
Mercs. Well,
yeah. So that means greatest elongation means it's at its furthest point away from the sun, essentially from our perspective. So it's the best time to see it. It'll be in the early morning sky. Okay, so it'll be in the early morning eastern sky, sets in the west western sky. If you don't have a lot on the horizon, you can probably see it. But this is when it's at its farthest kind of distance from our perspective from the sun. Otherwise, Mercury is really tough to spot. It sticks close to the sun. It sticks close to it. It's not, and it's small as well, so it's less like light that it reflects. It's
very
and
fleet it's, of foot.
It is. Hence, Mercury.
I mean, I'll say it every time. I almost ran a wreck when I saw Mercury for the first time.
Yeah, because you're like,
Yeah, I almost ran two wrecks. One looking at Mercury and one looking at Mithway, because that is how dedicated I am.
Gus up, look at the sky at night. The astronomical arts. Yeah, what's your degree in AA? I got my AA. My astronomical arts. My degree in astronomical arts.
My brain immediately went to associates. Associate. I got my AA.
Okay. Astronomical arts, not. on the 25th of January, there will be a full moon. This is the full wolf moon.
Uh-oh.
Because this is when the wolves are most likely to be heard howling.
You think we'll hear them? Here in the forest?
We might.
We're the deep, dark forest.
I don't know if we have wolves. Do we have wolves?
We have to have
wolves. Are there witches and wolves everywhere where there are forests? I don't know.
All right, so there's a lady who actually we really do like, and she walks just constantly in our neighborhood. And she the other day she was like, I need to get home because I don't want to be attacked by a mountain lion. She said it in all seriousness, which now freaks me out a little bit on the inside. But if we have mountain lions, we got to have wolves.
Really?
We have Bigfoot. Bigfoot. We got mountain lions.
If there are mountain lions, there are wolves.
There got to be wolves. We have all the monsters. And so if we have wolves, it means we have werewolves.
Oh, that's true. Fact. Where there are wolves, there is at least one werewolf.
And, you know, Brandon will correct me on this, but, you know, was it Sauron or Morgoth that made the werewolves?
It's probably going to be actually, it sounds like a Sauron thing.
I think Sauron.
Oh shit, that's right.
Invented the werewolves. Thank you, Cimmerillion.
Speaking of that full wolf
and
moon,
that comes back. So Baron, though, Hobbit.
Also,
he's not
the
quite.
Full wolf moon is also known as the center moon by the Assiniboine people. Assiniboine. I'm sorry. I apologize. I apologize to all Native Americans, people of the Great Northern Plains, which means that the moon.
Jack might know.
Jack's taking his nap. which is it means that this moon marks the middle of the cold season, so it's the center moon. That other sense. Names for this full moon.
That's true, though.
Yeah.
That is a bit true.
Other names for this moon are cold moon / these are fun. Okay. Cold moon / cool. Frost exploding moon
That's what my ice source does in Diablo.
I can do that with my sorcerer. The Algonquin call it the freeze up moon. Mm-hmm. The Dakota call it the severe moon or the hard moon for fallen snow that develops a hard crust on the ground.
I was thinking like the moon's like lifted weights and has tattoos.
Yeah,
like
it's a hard moon. But those are some fun moon names. And then lastly, on January 27th, at the end of the month, Mercury and Mars, M&Ms, we got the M&M pair. They will be 2 degrees apart in the sky. So they have a conjunction between Mercury and Mars. So two degrees would be, your fist is 5 degrees. So maybe two knuckle?
So it's going to be half your fist.
Oh, yeah, that makes more sense. I can't. Half a fist.
Half a fist bump.
Half a fist. Half a fist in the sky. Just do that. And then.
It's actually not even half fist, but pretty close.
Yeah. So that's kind of what's up in the sky for January. Sweet. Some things to check out, some fun stuff. Go outside at night and just look up and enjoy and appreciate the world that you live in.
Yeah, this actually really is the best time to. All right, so if you want to see bright stars,
yeah, this is
the best time.
Go out during the day.
Yes. If you want to see a bright star, go out during the day and don't look at it
directly. Don't trump it and look directly at the sun like he did when the eclipse happened. The
eclipse, yeah.
Oh, God, it was beautiful. That was a beautiful moment. So on brand. Anyway, news. Astronomy news. We have been off.
You should do it 1940s.
Astronomy news, yeah?
Do it 1940s.
I wish I had like a little.
Here's Liz with the news.
Yes, hello. No, that didn't. It's astronomy news. I can't do it. I can't. I got it. I'm overthinking it. I'm overthinking my 1940s voice.
It's my natural voice.
Yeah. And sweater and glasses and.
You didn't see this though. It's a nice little Christmas gift. That's it's the themes. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. I like that. We can take a drink.
Okay, sure. Let's
take a drink for the sweater, for the Lord of the Rings sweater, which we also got him a Lord of the Rings book as well. So he had a Lord of the Rings Christmas.
And I realized I am out of bookshelf space, so I now need to be creative in how to store books.
Hey.
We have so many Funkos that are sitting over there on the desk because we don't have...
No, but some of those we can take up and put... Because we got our Avengers guys over there that need their buddies.
And we have a couple of Star Wars. And
Obi-Wan has to fit in with the Star Wars ones because we don't have Obi up there.
Oh, poor Jack.
Aw. Anyway. What... Brandon has ghosts. If you're watching on YouTube, Brandon looks around all confused. So, I think someone's
sawing. I hear the saw going. It's the strangest thing.
Sawing?
Sawing, yes, in a condo. Who's doing that?
Is it like a...
Clearly.
Okay. No, it's an electric saw.
Oh, okay. I like our effects for
circular saw.
Manual versus electric saw. Anyway. Astronomy news.
It's cut off rails.
Astronomy news. We took a week off, of course, for the holiday season, so we're coming back here. Some of this was before we went away for a break. Christmas. So first up, a perfectly synchronized exoplanet system has been found, which you can hear more about this on an episode of The Shot.
Hey!
That will be coming, yet. I don't know if it's dropped yet or if it's out next Wednesday.
I think it's next Wednesday.
Yeah.
You either can go listen to it or you have something to look forward
to. You have something to look forward to it. But NASA's TESS and the European Space Agency's KEOPS satellites, they found a six-planet solar system that's in perfect synchrony in our Milky Way galaxy. And I mean, we've found systems like this before,
but not many.
It's a rare occurrence to find them in a perfect synchronous orbit
with six planets as well. Usually it's a couple, not like six.
Yeah. So this means it's been like unchanged since the formation of this system.
Right.
Which is pretty cool. And this can help explain how solar systems across the Milky Way came to be. This one is 100 light years away in the constellation of Coma Berenices, the hair constellation. Hey. Beautiful princess hair constellation. None of these planets, though, are within the star's so-called habitable zone. The synchrony is known as...
Is it really a so-called, at this point...
Habitable zone.
But every star is going to have a habitable
zone. Yeah, synchronicity is called
resonance.
Resonance.
Okay.
I
thought you already said it.
I didn't say it.
Oh, okay.
The innermost planet completes three orbits every two by its closest neighbor. It's the same for the second and third closest planets and the third and fourth closest planets. My brain can't understand that.
It looks pretty.
But it's
cool. Oh, it actually does. It really does. So you can graphically show this, and it makes really cool, like spirograph type images. And if you do the first planet and the second planet, it actually makes a heart, which is really cool, I thought. So what was amazing about this is that it's really hard. So the prevailing thought is that most solar systems actually form in with these resonance type situations going on. Don't think I didn't hear that.
I did it quietly.
No, you didn't. No, she it did. Was like she this.
Did. I'm no.
You poured from like anyway. So the prevailing thought is most solar systems actually will settle into a resonance early on. Mm-hmm. So the question
and then they
is
get fucked up by other shit that comes.
So they
in.
Get yeah. So it gets yeah. fucked up. So the question is, why does it get fucked up? Well, it's a pretty simple answer is that you have things like
all this
Jupiter.
Debris. Oh, yeah.
Jupiter jupes that are pulling on mm-hmm. planets gravitationally, right. and so it disrupts the, mm-hmm. the resonance, and so that's what we see with mm-hmm. our solar system. Having said that, if you look at Neptune and Pluto, they are in resonance. So Neptune will go twice around. I'm sorry, Neptune will go three times around the sun, and then Pluto will make two laps around the sun. And so they're in resonance with each other. That's because Jupiter is pretty far away. Mm-hmm. You don't have a lot of gravitational disruption.
It doesn't have the power
and so,
over them.
So it's not. So you can see it like in one off, mm-hmm. But to see an
entire
system
do this,
yeah.
like it's,
this,
it's one in 100 systems that have retained this.
Yeah, and it and like you said, it has remained unchanged for billions of years. For most of it, the life of this solar system,
so many
it
dinosaur
has
units.
Remained unchanged.
So many dinosaur units.
So many dinosaur units.
One fun phrase I read today is they were talking, as a NASA quote, about the gravitational wave basically that the sun has versus the moon with tides. Mm-hmm. And they called the sun, you know, it's the gorilla of the solar system when it comes to gravity. But it is a distant gorilla.
It's a distant gorilla.
And you know, to be honest, unless they're behind glass, mm-hmm. that is
that's
how
fun.
You want gorillas.
Yes, yes distant.
They can be very aggressive. They can be very aggressive.
Yes.
You know. In other news, and this I thought was fun to include, and I wish I could do the accent in order to offend all these people. Although I do have... Is this Scottish? No, I'm Scottish. Never mind. I'm sorry. I'm not Irish. But Ireland.
Yeah, pretend you're the Lucky Charms guy.
Ireland. Nope. Ireland's first satellite successfully launched. Go nice. Ireland. They had the Lucky Charms behind. I'm sorry. The Educational Irish Research Satellite, or EarSat 1. This is from students from the University College Dublin. Through ESA Academy's Flyer Satellite Program.
How
cool is that?
Wait, this is... Oh, shit, I missed that when I read through the notes earlier. Flyer Satellite. Why is NASA not doing that?
Because...
Why are
we
not making our own satellites?
We have stuff like that.
I mean, we get, like, CubeSats and shit, but... I mean, yeah, this is really cool. The ESA has a whole Flyer satellite program. So Ireland college students launched their own satellite. And this satellite is going to study gamma ray bursts. It's going to test the thermal treatment's ability to protect the surface of a satellite when in space. And test a new method of using Earth's magnetic field to change a satellite's orientation in space. So that's cool. So go...
Why wasn't NASA doing this when I was in college?
Oh, so it looks like NASA. Your set is a 3-unit CubeSat. 3U CubeSat. So
okay,
it's
so it's a CubeSat.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's so cool! But it's their first one!
Yeah, so they. I just went on the website, and the first thing that comes up is a video when it launched, and they have like a jazz band playing, and it's just like a big celebration. It's pretty cool.
That's cool.
I'm surprised
neat.
Ireland didn't get U2 to commission some music.
So good job, Ireland.
Go Ireland.
Go Fighting Irish. I know that's Notre Dame.
No, that's Notre Dame.
I know. Anyway, this is one I didn't add, so I'm assuming Brandon added it. So
oh,
Brandon,
go, about
so
it.
Go for the next one.
Yes, yeah, so this was on I think the 28th of December when the military launched the X-37B space plane. And this is like a tiny space shuttle. It's still really big though. Yeah.
Yeah. So I saw a picture of it on CNN mm-hmm. yesterday, today, whatever.
Yeah.
Talking about it. Yeah. So it does look like.
It does look like a little
tiny little space.
Yeah.
It is uncrewed.
Like
yeah. The wings are up,
angled up.
Like a
yeah. They're angled
shuttle?
Up a little bit.
Does
if
adorable?
You're familiar,
no.
It does.
No.
Not
no.
Adorable
no.
As...
Because in my head, And like, this is military.
Okay, well, if you ignore the military part, is it adorable? It's cute. Okay.
It's pretty cute.
I'm flying it.
And so typically it'll stay up there for a year, 2 years, 3 years. It just kind of depends. We don't know when it's coming down. And we don't really know what it's doing. It's, you know, doing testing things. But this time it's in polar orbit. So it is going over the poles in its orbit around the Earth.
Oh, okay.
All right. So we might be able to see it.
No, it's very tiny. So it doesn't cast.
It's not like ISS.
Yeah, so no. Astronomers will track it as long as they can, but it tends to disappear. We just don't see it.
Okay.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you feel about SpaceX launching a military thing?
So typically it's ULA that launches it, but they needed a heavy rocket this time around, so they use the Falcon Heavy.
Okay. All right. Just a caveat, we recommend a podcast called The Dollop and their episode on Elon Musk. Check that out.
And the John Oliver episode on Elon Musk.
And the John Oliver episode on Elon Musk as well.
I mean, it's just more money for Mr. Musk.
Anyway, moving on.
I like SpaceX.
We got, I mean, yeah.
But he's not really running it at this point. It's, right?
Luckily not. He's not like day-to-day hands-on as much anymore, which is good.
Yeah, because he's crazy. We got a quick bit. James Webb. And guess what? It spots Uranus.
Okay.
Took a nice picture of Uranus. Yes, I mean Uranus. I know. But you know what? It's fun. So James Webb got a pic of Uranus and it's hot. It's cold.
Okay.
Gas giant, but it's pretty neat that this is a close-up. The close-up version shows the seasonal north polar cloud caps, the faint inner and outer rings, and it's 27 known moons. It's a really cool image. So Google James Webb Space Telescope Uranus. Don't actually type out your anus because then you're gonna get different results.
I can't suggest googling that.
No, but it's a really, of course, it's gotten Saturn. It's taken a picture of Jupiter, it got Neptune, and so now it's has.
Oh, Neptune's in the shot.
No. I'm saying it has taken pictures.
And
so now we have a picture of Uranus as well from James Webb, and it's gorgeous all the other fucking pictures are because James Webb is amazing. And then we have an update news bit. We talked about this in our December High in the Sky.
This just in.
But Japan's SLIM spacecraft, SLIM, has successfully entered lunar orbit. JAXA's, which is the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency, it's the SLIM, just a reminder, it's a smart lander. It's supposed to be a smart lander that's supposed to be able to land pretty much on target versus...
Yeah, on target.
There we go. Let's start with reference. Which, before, Apollo landings and stuff, they could be, way off target. But this is supposed to be relatively close to target. It is gearing up to make its precision landing on the moon. It's really a test of this precision landing system. This will make Japan the fifth country to land on the moon, which is really cool.
It's funny how like Perseverance can do a pinpoint landing on Mars, but we still have a difficult time doing pinpoints on the moon.
I know, right?
So what? So it's the U.S. obviously, India, Japan. Well, China. We could do it. China, Soviet Union / Russia.
Soviet Union, yeah.
Well, no, Japan will be the fifth. So I don't. Has Russia actually landed on the moon?
Yes, Soviet Union.
So us, China.
They have the Luck. India. I can't remember. Luckdol.
Okay, so
Russia / Soviet Union.
And Japan.
In Japan. All right, cool.
So, Banzai! Japan. Banzai!
Hey!
That's what they say in celebration. No, like, Banzai!
No, I got you.
Okay.
I'm just be careful with beer.
Fine.
You're Davidson.
And lastly, for our high in the sky, before we go over to the Hangover, which we will do a little 2023 year in review, but we have an in memoriam, a little belated in memoriam since we took our break. And this in memoriam is to Mary Cleave. She is a NASA astronaut that flew twice on the space shuttle before becoming the first woman to head NASA's science division. She passed away on November 27th at the age of 76, which is really young. So cheers to Mary Cleave. Live long and prosper. Rest in space. Mary Cleave. So there you have it.
There you have it.
We've got lots of cool things coming up in January. Lots of bright stuff to check out. Lots of exciting things happening.
I'm going to make an audible. I'm going to make a call right now. So I'll be here for the next episode. The next episode will be fantastic. It is all about William and Caroline Herschel.
Are we doing it? We're doing it.
Join us.
The Herschels. Oh, man. It's happening. It's about to happen.
Yeah. All right. So we always will try to plan out what the episodes are. And there are certain episodes where we try to. We have
topics.
To have Brandon here.
Yeah, have Brandon for the
and
topics.
They just keep getting pushed. So
Herschel's is one
Herschel's
of them.
Herschel's is one of them. There's another one.
This is his
but
jam.
Herschel's is one of them.
So,
and yay, we're finally
Brandon's
doing it.
It's happening.
Brandon's leaving that
it's
show.
Happening.
It's exciting. So join us in 2 weeks.
Where Liz and I just sit back and it's a Brandon show.
Oh, I'm going to just nerd out hardcore.
Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be fun. But as far as this episode goes, thanks for joining it, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Oh, geez, this beer. Thanks for joining us, everyone. You can follow us on Twitter at Drinking Cosmos, everywhere else, Cosmos with Cosmos. Find us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Check us out on the YouTubes. Check out the shot if you like some shorter features of fun astronomy stuff.
One day we'll make them into planetarium shows.
That'd be fun.
It would.
Okay.
Yeah.
But for now, Happy New Year, everyone. We hope everyone has a great beginning to 2024.
We hope everybody has a great entirety of 2024.
Well,
not just
only
the beginning.
Just
the beginning.
We hope the rest of your year is shit. No, I'm just kidding. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Live long and prosper. We'll see you.
Cheers.
Wait, how do I do live long? This way.
Yeah,
this
no,
way,
you had way, it. This way, no. This way. Put the thumb out.
Okay, there we go. I got it. I'm mixing up like this.
Because this means you're in duress. This means live long and prosper.
Oh, really? Okay, we've learned
Cheers.
New things. Bye, everyone.